Well, good morning. It is Wednesday. It's February 1st, everyone. Wow, we made it to February. I can't believe it. And this weather in Illinois is pretty wild, from one day snow and flurries and ice on the roads. Be careful when you drive, to wow, everything's melting and it's like almost a fall day. So we're appreciating this sneak preview into what the spring's going to hold for us all. And we're glad you're here. We're glad you're tuned in. We're glad you're listening to Christian Radio. If you're new to the concept of Christian Radio, like, what's Christian Radio? Well, we want to help introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to help fortify you in your faith journey. We want to point our remarks and our comments and our storytelling towards a God who loves you and cares for you, who wants to work in and through your life, through your circumstances. And we just hope that as you tune in throughout the day, the inspirational music and the God-honoring teaching and the scripture verses will minister to your very soul and help equip you for this day to be a kingdom builder, to press kingdom influence, power, and authority into your realm of influence, because you could be a worker bee for God. As you train yourself up as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you can be that ambassador that helps other people know about the love of God. So we'll be talking about that a little today, because on Wednesday we have Pastor Jason Schiffo in the studio. He's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church. And this past Sunday he was talking about loving God and loving people. So that'll be a primary topic that we'll talk about. I don't think I'm going to be derailing him very much today, because I'm going to do all my comments, Jason, on the front end for the most part. We'll see. I want to point out...
Promises.
Yes. We won't be getting into Ephesians today, everyone, so I can hold to that promise. But the singing men on Monday night, we had a great rehearsal, though I had to jump out of the rehearsal and jump into the radio Jeep because we were off the air. I had misprogrammed something, thinking it was Founders Week, and I get a live feed from the Moody Broadcasting Network out of Chicago, so the automation goes to this live feed. Well, Founders Week is next week, so It sat there thinking, there's nothing here, and so you just heard silence. So I had Dwayne race out to the tower and press some buttons, and so the re-airing of Mark and Friends didn't re-air in the evening, so poor Skip Devil, the bear chair, didn't get to maybe hear his interview in the evening, so... Anyways, we got that all resolved, but the reason I bring up the Singing Men of GNN is because our listener appreciation, community appreciation concert that's coming to the Virginia Theater on Thursday night, March 29th, I believe the Singing Men are going to be opening up for Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, and Michael Card. So we've been rehearsing and practicing, so when the doors open at 6 p.m., about 15 or so minutes later, we'll have the Singing Men put on a pretty full concert, so that when 7 o'clock rolls around and Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, and Michael Card come onto the stage, people will have been warmed up for them. So we're excited about that opportunity. And tickets are on sale at the Virginia Theater, and you can call the box office at 217-356-9063. That's 217-356-9063. When we fully believe we'll sell out, so get your tickets now. Or you can order online, and it's a simple website, just thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. Tickets are $11, and that's a great, great price, and we want to thank Chesler Financial, and we're looking for some other sponsors just so that we can keep the cost at $11, and we appreciate Jamie Chesler and some of the other people that are considering helping underwrite some of the costs so we can make it affordable for everyone to attend. Well, we had the bear chair on Monday, so if you missed that broadcast, I invite you to go to greatnewsradio.org and listen on the archived programs link. He's a member of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad, and he talked about how you can even use bulldozers for kingdom purposes. So it was a delightful conversation. He's been a volunteer for this radio ministry and a supporter for so many years, and so we appreciated having him in the studio. Yesterday it was Pastor Randy Boltonhouse, and he talked about an upcoming preaching forum that's coming to the Meadowbrook Church next Monday. And it's primarily for pastors, but I think it'd help anyone that has to deliver a message, that wants to keep an audience engaged and focused and in tuned on what's being presented and shared. In fact, I'm going to attend. I hope it helps me with the morning program and helps me keep you listening and helps me further help people focus on whatever the topic is at hand, which, as you know, Jason, the topic can be about 15 different layers of different tangents and different things.
Well, but it was funny because we did Israel night on Friday night. Those of you who came and attended, I just want to say thank you. It made it just, it was a blessing to me to be able to share that with so many people and also to be able to just connect, meet, and talk with so many of you, even if it was just for a moment. And some of you had way more to say, but this is why I'm bringing this up, because during the night we had a wireless microphone. And beforehand, you know, I said, hey, Mark, will you be willing to open it up in prayer and do this? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, if I have one bit of advice, he goes, you just want to make sure when you give somebody a microphone that you don't let go of the microphone, because they'll run your road, that they'll derail things. And then that made me think in the back of my mind, he has a microphone right now.
Yes. And I learned that from Dr. Erwin Lutzer. You go up to the Moody Church, and he never relinquishes control of the microphone because it's always awkward, too, if somebody gets on a tangent or starts talking, to start pulling away the microphone from their hands, and then you struggle over it. And could you imagine Dr. Lutzer and somebody fighting, or somebody gets on a tangent? It's like, this is not where we want this conversation to go. Well, yeah, you're kind of stuck because this microphone stays in front of me. But for our listeners, I do hope that this preaching forum, what's going to be taught and shared, and I know, Jason, you're planning on attending, will help me, as many of our listeners know, over the many years. I've really never had formal training. We kind of got the concept and prayed up this radio ministry. We got the studio built here in our home, and because of just the demands of the position, you know, I've worked day and night just doing so many different things, and, you know, get in the studio, and so I'm hoping that I can learn some tools or techniques or methods to be clearer in some of the conversation. And I'm glad you're kind of a regular on Wednesday to help navigate through some of the topics and things we talk about. And one is about loving people and loving others. And I know because of your church service, you had prepared a lengthy message and done a lot of research and study on the topic. And yet so much else was going on during the service that you really didn't get to share all the things you wanted to share. So Wednesday sometimes is an outlet for you to continue your message from Sunday.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Sunday morning, we really wanted to be about community and about community time, so we shared a lot. We had the wireless microphone, and during the prayer time, it was passed around. If you had a prayer request, well, don't just allow me, the priest, per se, to pray for you, but I'd love to hear your heart. And in some terms, people, you could hear the emotion, whether it was joy or sadness or suffering, where they were, you could hear it in their voice. And I think there's a great power in that. And then also, because we were talking about where we had been and where we're going, people shared stories in terms of the church, where the church has been, how the church has been the church for them, whether it's just been a place that they felt loved, or maybe it's a place that met their needs. It was a place that walked with them. And I loved that. Somebody said that during it, I think. They said, the church walked with me. And right away you go, well, that's because it's not a building. It's a body of people who are doing the things that Jesus called them to do. And then they come to a building. And because we're gathered in the building gains its identity as a church. But ultimately, church, we narrow it down to that single person gathering with more people and more people and more people. And when we go to a building, but we always have to remember what church truly is. But the thought for where we wanted to go on Sunday morning, well, obviously, in the DNA of our church since very early on is Matthew 22:37-40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your brother as yourself. It's one of the things that the church stands upon, one of the pieces of scripture that's foundational to the community evangelical free church. But Jesus says in Matthew 28:18-20, he says, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, if you do a word search and you look at what that means when Jesus commands, what are his commands? Well, the only thing that he commands is Matthew 22:37-40. Now, that's also a parallel passage that we find in Luke and we also find in Mark. But Jesus only ever makes those commands. Now, he says, this I command you in John 16-18 when he's teaching the disciples in the upper room. But what he's talking to them about is loving people. It's always qualified with the word love. So this is Jesus' command, love one another, love God, and then love people. But I think that we miss what that means. So I started to walk the church through it, but we did so much sharing and we had so much great. I was blessed so much by the things that were happening that, not to diminish the power of God's word, but I said, what I have to say doesn't matter as much as what's happening here in this moment. So I just kind of stood in awe. You know, Acts 2:42, I think it's 43, where it says, and they were in awe and reverence of what God was doing amongst them. So I just kind of stood back in awe and reverence of what was happening in the community and just really was blessed by that.
And how hard that is oftentimes, especially for a pastor or me as maybe a leader of an event. You have your agenda, you have your purpose and your plan, and then suddenly, if you will, God shows up in a different way, and it's like, oh, Lord, I got to really relinquish, I don't know if you'd say control or oversight, because you're doing a different thing, and your spirit is present here. People are being ministered to or touched or encouraged or blessed. And I know sometimes, but I got to get this done, or I've done that where we had a morning program and a testimony's going out, and I knew God was speaking through the person, and in my mind, yeah, but I got tickets to give away at the end of the program, and I did a terrible transition at the end, and I thought, you know, I kind of squashed or limited what God was doing by just interrupting and having my agenda, but it seemed like, yeah, God was working, and what I've always been, I shared this with your congregation, your church has blessed this radio ministry because it's been a drop-off point for teddy bears when we did our humanitarian trips. It's been a launching pad for many of our trips to Israel. You've allowed your facility, your church, to be open where we could hold meetings. And I love a church that doesn't look at their four walls as this is just ours, this is our territory. The First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy does that very well, too. They have other ministry organizations that meet there. They have a Bible study fellowship. The singing men get to meet there and other organizations. And it seems like when the pastor and the elders and the deacons all say, hey, you know, we're stewards of this building, so you want to keep it, you know, regulated and want to have oversight. You don't just want anyone just walking in and trashing it. But yet when you see it as a resource that God has entrusted to you to use for kingdom purposes, it's just, it's really freeing and it's a real blessing to the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it goes back to that first century model, you know, where the synagogue would be the place where people would gather for all kinds of things. They'd gather to learn from one another. They'd gather to wrestle the text. They'd gather if you wanted to learn music. I mean, there was all innumerable amount of things you would gather to do. It was the center. It was the hub of the community. And now we have so many peripheral places that we can go to do things that subtly the church has not become the hub of the community. And so we, you know, we need to reclaim that in whichever way we can. And sometimes that's by, you know, I think this Friday night we've got a scrapbooking group that's going to meet there. They called and asked, hey, can we meet there? Most certainly you can meet there. And, you know, how many tables do you need? Can we make you some coffee to have at your meeting? What can we do to serve you? You know, so I just think that that's powerful. Because scrapbooking can be a ministry if you allow it to. Mm-hmm. You know, because God's spirit is there. His presence is there. So who knows? I've been in places where you go, there's no way there could be a redeeming conversation here. And there is. There's a redeeming and reconciling conversation that changes somebody's life. So by saying, well, you know, I don't want that group here because that's not a church function. Once again, if church is people gathering together, then the church can look like all kinds of things. It can be ladies quilting. It can be youth watching a DVD together. It can be all kinds of things. To say one thing is ministry and one thing is not ministry is to devalue the fact that God's Spirit is in the room no matter what you do.
And as you have mentioned and pointed out in the past, when we go where we go, Christ goes with us and we are that church, whether it's at a coffee shop, whether we visit a friend in his working environment, we're pressing kingdom influence, power, and authority because of the Holy Spirit that abides in us. So we can be those ambassadors, those change agents wherever we go, and we are the living church.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, in this passage here, Matthew 22, I have to qualify it by a few passages that come before it. You know, before we hear this greatest commandment question, we have to go back to Matthew 22 and verse 15. Because there's three questions that happen here. The first question is a very political question. Now, you have to understand that the rabbis and the scribes and the chief priests, you know, the text says the chief priests and the elders, and that would include rabbis and scribes, everybody who is tied to this system because they had something to gain by this system. You know, I talked about on Sunday that you had a high priest, and he was like the president, and you had a captain of the temple, and he was like the vice president. You had priests of the weekly course. You had 24 of those. You had priests of the daily course. You had 156 of those. And then you had overseers who were in charge of the robes and the doors, and they were in charge of an innumerable amount of things. And they said that there could have been hundreds and hundreds, almost maybe even 1,000 of those. And then you had all the rabbis, the, you know, kind of the street guys, and the scribes. So you had this huge system of people who were invested in this thing happening every single day. And this thing that Jesus was coming along and saying, look, you guys are missing the boat on what you're doing here. And so these guys were getting, you know, their feathers were getting ruffled. They were going, wait a second, you're upsetting this very tenuous, delicate balance. Not to mention we got the Romans above us, so you're kind of upsetting our thing here. So they were getting really angry. So in verse 15, they come and they ask a political question, because right away they go, you know what, let's get the blood off our hands. Let's get the Romans to do it for us. And ultimately they do that. But they ask a money question. They say, Jesus, do we even have to pay taxes to Caesar? Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, you know, that great line where he says, you know, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. But what they really hoped is that Jesus would look rebellious and the Romans would come to quell his rebellion. And so it was a very political question. And Jesus deftly answers that question. I mean, he answers that perfectly. Almost like, I almost think it's like Kung Fu, where they go to get him and he kind of just does this very nice sidestep and misses the blow. And then in verse 23, they come and they ask another question. And this is a teaching question, because Jesus was teaching everywhere and they saw he was a master teacher. So the idea was to show him to be an inept teacher. So they ask him about the resurrection, which was a major doctrinal question back then. You know, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees also only held to the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. The Pharisees did believe in resurrection, and the Pharisees held to the whole of the Tanakh, or the whole of the Old Testament, starting in Genesis all the way through to Malachi. So you had these two camps that believed doctrinally two different things. We don't know anything about that nowadays, right? Yeah. But we had these two... Thank you, Mark.
And I have to say, whenever I hear about the Sadducees not believing in the afterlife or resurrection... That's why they were sad, you see. Okay. That's how the Dixie riddle cups. Scripture versions.
So they want to make Jesus appear to be this inept teacher. So they try and catch him in a theological trap. And Jesus answers the question by saying there is a resurrection. You know, he basically is speaking to what's going to come. And so right away, we see the Sadducees being silenced. And then also, I love this. I find it very fascinating that the Pharisees are more interested in getting rid of Jesus than they are in the fact that they found a point where they agree upon. I mean, Jesus answered the question in such a way that it valued what the Pharisees believed in, their theology, that resurrection was true and the whole of the Old Testament was true, the law and the prophets. But still, it was more important to them to get rid of Jesus than to find points where they agree on, to be able to work together in things. And Psalm chapter 2 and verse 2, looking towards the cross, says this. It says that the kings and the leaders will rise up against the Lord. And then if we go to Acts 4, chapter 4 and verse 26, it says that the kings and the leaders will rise up against the Lord's anointed. So we have Psalm 2, which is looking towards the cross, and we have Acts chapter 4, which is looking back on the cross. And we find that God's word affirms that this would happen. Now, what happens here in Matthew 22 then, Jesus has answered those first two questions properly, and they know they can't really get him in that. So they ask him an issue of Torah, because, see, the Sadducees agree on the first five books of the Bible. They agree on Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. And the Pharisees agree on the first five books of the Bible, plus the remainder of the Old Testament. But the point that the Sadducees and the Pharisees do agree upon is those first five books of the Bible, Moses. The issue in Matthew 22, 37 through 40 is Moses. It's a Torah question. So they say to him, they say, because the perception of the people in that day is that Jesus came to supersede Moses. He came to kick Moses out. He came to be the new Moses, which is not what Jesus came to do. But they want to show that. I mean, Jesus even says in Matthew chapter 5 and 17, he says, I didn't come to abolish the Torah, but to fulfill it, to bring out its fullness. So you can see, you guys are living kind of a half-life in it. You guys need to understand there's more here. So they ask him a question regarding Moses, because if he answers this question wrong, he's kicking Moses out. Moses is the rock star back then. He's the number one hero for all the Jews. So it says this, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them an expert in the law. That expert in the law means he could answer all kinds of legal questions. He was an expert in biblical law in terms of giving judgments. He comes and it's syrupy. Look at verse 36 if you have your Bible out. It's syrupy. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now remember, there were 613 commands here. So he's saying, which of these 613 is great? Because if you answer one being better than the other 612 are less than, what are you saying about Moses? And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:4, which all the Jews would say three times a day. It's the Amidah when they went to pray. It's called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Because they couldn't argue about that because they would say it three times a day. They stood upon it. And then he says this. This is the first and greatest commandment. He's saying what when Moses said this, the first and greatest. And I love the fact that it's your whole heart, your whole mind, your wholeness. Not some of you, all of you. And he says the second, because Jesus doesn't want to be hedged into a corner by just answering with one. He answers Leviticus 19:8 by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. That happens in Leviticus. So not only is that, he's saying, look, in the law, there's a law regarding this in the Levitical law about loving your brother as yourself. And then he says this, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Mm-hmm. All the law, the first five books of the Bible, all the law and the prophets, the remainder of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, he's saying, look, all of it hangs on this. And when he says hangs, that's a very Jewish way of asking a question. All the law and the prophets hang on these. Who hung it? God hangs on these commandments. What he's saying is all the thing that you're arguing about, God put it there. God supplied it. His grace is sufficient. It is all begins with God. And you guys have gotten so wrapped up in your system that you've forgotten about God. You've allowed the system to become your God, and you're worshiping something other than what God has called you to. And so Jesus right there is righting the ship. Why do you think? I mean, read down a little bit farther. We go into Matthew chapter 23, which is the woes. I mean, imagine Jesus has just given you the smackdown, and then you invite him to dinner for more punishment.
Yeah.
So it's the first thing. It's our first orientation. We love God with our whole heart, not some of our heart, our whole heart. And when we do that, I have always used the metaphor of a cup. God begins to pour into your cup, pour into you, the listener, right now, wherever you are, at your computer, in your car, however it is that you're listening, maybe on your iPod, you're listening to streaming audio, and maybe your cup is kind of half empty. And as you're loving God with your whole heart, God is pouring into your cup. Well, what happens to a cup when it gets too full? It begins to overfill and pour out. And that overfilling, that pouring out is what happens. That's what allows you to love people. You love God so much that that cup is flowing out. Streams of water are coming out of that cup, and it's splashing on everybody around you. You're loving everybody around you with the same heart that you love God with.
Oh, I hate to cut off here, but draw near to God today, everyone, because he loves you. He desires to work in and through you. He created you for reasons and purposes and plans, and we would pray that you draw near to him today. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.